Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
What happens when a life-changing psychological crisis forces you to question everything you've ever believed? On this episode of This Week in America, author Stephen Sheets discusses his thought-provoking book, The Gospel of Stephen Sheets, a deeply personal blend of memoir, philosophical reflection, and social commentary. Following a religiously inspired psychosis, Stephen began a journey to better understand faith, identity, personal freedom, and the cultural influences that shape our lives. Rather than offering easy answers, he invites readers to wrestle with difficult questions and think critically about belief, purpose, and the human experience. This is an open and thoughtful conversation about challenging assumptions, finding meaning after personal hardship, and encouraging respectful dialogue even when perspectives differ. Stephen Sheets, author of the provocative The Gospel of Stephen Sheets, is our guest on This Week in America. Stephen, welcome to the program. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
So much to talk about, and your ability and willingness to help other people by talking about the experiences that you've gone through. I'm looking forward to our conversation today. First of all, what inspired you to write this book, and what personal experience really influenced the creation? How did this all come about?
Well, what really caused me to write this book was back in October 2023, I had a really, really crazy psychosis, and I'm not 100% sure what caused it. There are many factors, definitely religious influence. But for a period of about 3 months, I lost my free will. From my perspective within the psychosis, it felt like everyone else didn't have free will. But after having left the psychosis, it definitely feels like I lost my free will. And it's essentially me condensing this 3-month-long experience of not having any agency into an hour-long listen. And it's a really funny, it's not funny, but it's very interesting. It's very weird.
It is real. I listened to it, and you can feel what you were going through, and yeah. You are able to bring that through in the audiobook, and you're able to, we're like listening to you and want to help you as you get through all of this. Stephen Sheets is our guest on the program. You'll find information on Stephen at his website, StephenSheetsBooks.com. Stephen is STEVEN. You can link on by going to our website, ThisWeekInAmerica.us. What an amazing situation you found yourself. I was going to call it a journey. I'm not sure that that's the exact word, but what you went through and now able to recount and to help other people going through issues like that. Can you give the listeners a brief overview of the book, the audio, without revealing too much of the story, just enough to let us know what it was you were going through and where you've come from?
Yeah, well, one thing I'd like to say really quickly is that I do genuinely, even though the book is like still a very useful tool, I definitely think that the audiobook is the authentic experience of it, because just reading it, it's quite difficult to insert the emotion and the authenticity of it. Sorry, can you repeat the question one more time?
Well, yeah, I was asking an overview of the book without giving too much, but I'll just go back and say, yes, the book is words on paper, and they're impactful, but not nearly as impactful as you hear Stephen talking. It's like he's sitting next to you and going through what the last few years of his life, those years were like. So it is more impactful to get the real story by listening to the audio. So just an overview of the book without giving too much away.
So, general overview of the book is I start out with a little backstory about my lovely, beautiful childhood, which I really did. But there was some things that happened in there that caused me to be a little sad. But the majority of the book is actually detailing the psychosis. So it starts out with me going crazy at work, thankfully on Microsoft Teams. And then I have to go to multiple mental institutions. And I was struggling to get to any of them because I couldn't trust anything. So my eldest brother had to come fly in from Iowa, and he guided me towards getting proper mental health. There was really big religious themes with it. There are like I have one my like it sounds ridiculous, but my entire book is completely and totally meaningless other than the one commandment I have, which is man is born of woman, because in my crazy psychosis, God has given me this information that if we are to get to heaven, all of us, it's very simple. I just need to get these religious nut jobs, as I call them in my book. But essentially, I don't want to like insult religion, but I have to talk about my personal experience. And obviously, because I went to hell during my psychosis, I want to make it so that nobody else has to experience that ever again. And it's just really weird because approximately when I Googled it, it was 1 in 300 to 1 in 700 people experience a psychotic break of some sort, which labels you as a schizophrenic. I have schizotypal personality disorder. That's what I was listed as. But I just find it very, very strange that people have been experiencing a lack of free will within their lifetime, and they get it back eventually. But what are you supposed to do? Like, how am I supposed to trust my consciousness now that I know that at any given moment, God could take control of me and force me to speak in tongues, to cast whatever spell he or she wants to make the world a better place? I do believe I made the world a better place with my magical spells and speaking in tongues, but I could never, ever, ever emulate that ever again. And I don't want to, because it was a very horrifying experience having zero agency. The con I don't even There are parts in the book in which I actually interacted with demons. And you know, it was weird because I believed in demonic possession before, but it's a huge difference to believe in the existence of demons and to have a demon look you in the eyes and tell you, "My prince, why are you afraid?" Because I'm not actually Stephen, I'm Lucifer, but that's really confusing to explain to people. But just know that even though I am Lucifer, I'm trying to be a good angel and make the world a better place and stop the manifestation of hell that it appears humanity is going towards. And I talk about that in the book, and it's not to be insulting of anyone. I believe that everyone should be gods of their own body. But the simple fact is, from my perception of reality, if we are made in the image of God, then the image of God is getting data corrupted. We are literally devolving into a bunch of inbred retards. But there's no need to fear. That future can be avoided as long as religious nutjobs can incorporate this one simple commandment of man is born of woman into their theology, and we'll get to heaven.
Yes, the goal of everyone, and you need to read the book, to listen to the audio, to get the full story that Stephen is talking about, the Gospel of Stephen Sheets. More on Stephen at his website, stephensheetsbooks.com. You can look on and go directly from our website, thisweekinamerica.us. What message or central theme do you hope the readers will take away after finishing the book? They will be amazed at what you've gone through, your return now, as we can see. But what do you hope the takeaway is when they finish?
Well, as I said before, the main thing is that one commandment, man is born of woman, but other things would be, I guess, forgiveness. Me publishing this book is definitely an exercise in my free will, and it's an exercise with forgiveness and love. I love my mother to death, but I have to be honest with my emotions in the book. She quite literally sent me to hell. So I'm hoping that parents or people that may be parents in the future will read this book and be a little more careful with how they influence their children with religion. It's very important that everyone has free will, and as a parent, you have legal authority in the spiritual sense over your child, and you can abuse that. And my mother did abuse her spiritual legal authority over me, and it sent me into a decade of collecting data, such that I could ex escape this curse that my mother placed upon me. And
Well, yeah, it's
yeah.
interesting what you went through, and I love my mother and called her a demonic witch all at the same time. And I guess it's possible to have those, to have those simultaneous emotions. Love her's a person, but I don't care what she's doing to me. The book is and the audio, The Gospel of Stephen Sheets. Talk about the people in the book. You talk about the demons that are in there, the devil, all of these. Did you develop any of these for the book, or are these all based on
Yeah, this.
what you were going through?
Yeah, everything in it is something that I actually experienced. And it's really strange because I'm sorry, can you repeat the question one more time? I
Well,
just need
yeah,
to
it's just
collect my
that
thoughts.
you talk about you've got the devil, you've got all these demons, everything going through people that you meet that you come in contact with during the state that you were in during this period. I'm just asking if all those actually happened, or did you develop some of these characters in telling the story?
It all actually happened. I will say that like this is a multi-month long experience condensed into an hour long read, because I intentionally made it short because it appears in our civilization as if though attention spans are being engineered to be smaller and smaller and shorter and
Yes.
shorter. So I had to make it short. So I would say that it's actually missing like 90% of the details. I excluded a lot of information because it was important to keep it under an hour. Well, it's an hour and 8 minutes long, the audiobook, but it's about an hour long read. But unfortunately, yes, obviously with the real people that I interacted with during my psychosis, I tried. I don't have any like personal identifying information. Like a false name isn't enough to identify someone. And it's good to respect people's privacies, privacy. But like for example, one character, Christina, Chris Christ Christina.
Yes.
She was a mentally ill woman who I really, really connected with, and apparently we were playing telepathy games with each other. But she really she went crazy. Somehow interacting with me caused her to go really crazy, and she had to be sent to another hospital because she thought she was pregnant. And yeah, it was scary. And another person in my book, Gabrielle, the Archangel Gabrielle. It was really weird because there's a lot of details that I left out about him. But one thing that was really interesting that I wish I included in my book, but I didn't, was when I exorcised him, he looked me dead in the eyes and he said, "You are not God, you are Lucifer." And that was interesting. I at that point in my psychosis, I was kind of running away from this title or label of Lucifer. But at the end of it, I think I just gotta accept it. It's difficult for me to perceive of a reality in which I am not Lucifer, but a lot of people don't like that. My dad hates it. He cannot stand the concept of me being the Antichrist. And I'm like, oh, I'm not the Antichrist. I'm just Lucifer. But sometimes that's how it be.
Well, you've got the ramifications of that as well as you're telling the family story, as you're telling your story that implicates family members, that implicates people who know you, and you're juggling all of that, the book and the audio. The Gospel of Stephen Sheets, you'll find it at stephensheetsbooks.com. We'll guide you to the proper place to pick up copies of one or both of those. What was it like publishing? You chose an independent publishing route. The book is, I will say, unconventional. It's different. There aren't a lot of books in that category. How was it writing the book and finding somebody to get it published? Writing is one thing, getting it published another.
Getting it published was definitely another ordeal because once I had the book finished, I was like, okay, God, like, what am I supposed to do
Yeah, now
now?
what?
Like, are you like, I don't, I've always been a relatively like private guy, and now I have to tell the entire world I'm gay, and not only am I gay, but I'm crazy. So, getting the book published was, it was interesting because I was expecting to be rejected. I was expecting to be rejected multiple times before I got someone that would accept it. But somehow I literally just Googled how to publish a book, and I one of the first few links was Dawn's, and I was like, YOLO, let's try it. And they actually accepted it, and I was extremely surprised. Apparently, I did speak to someone from there, and they said that it was almost rejected, but this one woman stood up for it and like fought for it because she was like free speech, and that made me quite happy. But yeah, I'm still waiting on the audiobook to be published. I did send it to you directly, but they are in the process of getting that up there, so hopefully it's up there soon. And then hopefully it gets on Amazon soon. But it's just been a lot of patience, and slowly going back and forth with emails.
Yes.
I do wish that like I had more. I have had a few phone calls, but I wish I had more phone calls just so I could like better. I don't know. I like it when I can hear someone's voice more than receiving an email.
Well, yeah, it's certainly more personable, and you can answer questions and sort of guide them if they are having an outreach, if they're having situations of some kind that need to be addressed. That's why the website is very important. Stephen, that's Stephen, sheetsbooks.com. That's where you get all the information on the book, on the audio that's going to be out there. What kind of research did you have to do for this? Did you do any research, and did you discover anything that changed your perspective as you were looking into what you went through?
I mean, everything that happened from the ages of 13 to 23 was my research phase, if that makes sense. I call it my data collection phase because I was just collecting the necessary data to undo my course. So it's hard to say like anything specific that I researched. I suppose one of the things I could say that I researched and that one could just Google would be Jewish gender ideology. Not that I am, some people may disagree with this, but depending on what data you've absorbed, you might agree with it. It just depends on your perception of reality, and I don't really want to defend my perception of reality too hard, but I do think that there is religious influence that has led to, for example, transgenderism. And I've never met a transgender person who I didn't love. I have a sister who's transgender, and I love her to death. But I am a little bit scared of the concept that in order to express yourself, you must castrate yourself. But if that's one's perception of reality, then go ahead and do it. It's not my job to stop you. But I will stop someone at the expense of a male having a child because my one commandment
Yes, back to
is
this.
man is born of woman.
Yes.
That's the one thing that will guarantee that we make it to heaven. And
And you hear that often in the book and in the audio where I had heard it. But the time is going by so quickly. I want to talk just about one incident rather briefly here, but what to give an idea of what you went through. This is, I believe, the year is 2024. You're on the plane, you're going back to Des Moines to
yes.
visit family, and you talk about tricks by the devil, and you were really in a bad place, and
Yeah,
you
it
were
was
going to
bad.
force your way onto the airplane. And there are police there that
Yeah.
prevent people from forcing your
Yeah.
way onto airplanes, and you had to go through that and had to talk your way, and your sister talk your way out of being arrested. Briefly talk about that because it really shows the state that you were in at the time.
Yeah, I was in a really bad. I mean, my mind went back to hell, and I'm walking in this airport, and the hundreds of the thousands of people around me, my perception of reality is that they don't have free will, and I have to get on this plane because I have to, for some reason, the spell that God wanted me to cast would only work if I am up in the air. I have no idea the spiritual, metaphysical logistics of that at all. But I was walking back and forth between two gates at the airport like a total schizo. And eventually I'm like so stressed out. I'm like literally like about to explode. And I'm like, okay, I have to sneak onto a plane. I got stopped. Then the security came and it was really, really scary. And I don't even know what my sister said. She's called, but somehow she got them. She like explained that like I'm having an episode right now is how I'm guessing she like put it, and that I needed to get medical help. And somehow they let me go. And thank God they did because I was able to. I think it was the next day, and maybe I had to go home. I had to go get a hotel. Because I needed to get onto a new f I there was no flights for me to take that night.
Yes.
But once it's so weird because like in my personal opinion, I should have been locked up until the end of my psychosis. But it's weird. The only way I could end the psychosis was with this spell that I'm casting on this airplane. And it was a very strange airplane flight. I spent the entire flight like doing like this and like speaking in tongues, and it was really weird. But at the end of it, I look outside of the window, and I mean, the main thing was the tree of life, but it was like I was like seeing stars. That's not the right way to like explain it, but it's like I could see like the entire universe in the lights of the city of Des Moines, and on the horizon was a tree of life. And it was one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. Honestly, the most beautiful thing I've ever seen outside of outside of psychedelic usage. But
Well, you bring
it
that whole episode to life, and when people read that and hear what you went through, it certainly it gets people's attention. We've got a couple minutes left. The time has gone by way too quickly. Today, you are a software engineer. You've got a 9-to-5 job, regular in the working in the workplace. You talk about Happy Stephen and wish you knew what it was like to really be yourself. Do you know who you are now? Have you been able to reclaim Stephen?
Well, honestly, after the psychosis, the my Stephen, it is the gospel of Stephen Sheets, and Stephen Sheets kind of died in that psychosis, and now what's left is Lucifer Sheets. And it's weird because essentially after my mom in my childhood, I, instead of seeking love from my parents, I sought love from everyone else. And I, you know, this is a terrible perspective to have, but I feel like I manipulated all of my friends into loving me. And I was an incredibly social person. I was a social butterfly, and I got a bunch of friends and I had really great relationships. But even still, you know, I didn't. I feel bad for all my friends because I manipulated them into loving me, even though I know that they wouldn't like have that perception. But I guess it, what I would love, you know, I still go by Steven on a day-to-day basis because I feel like there's just so much baggage associated with the term Lucifer.
Yes.
And there's a difference between just saying like, oh, my name is Lucifer, and yes, I am literally the incarnation of the person that is responsible for all of the negative things in this material realm. Because I feel like if people honestly knew that I was Lucifer and knew me, then I would think that they would want to kill me, especially because the spell I cast on that plane, what it did was it kind of removed the free will of some people, and I hope that one day they'll be able to reobtain it. But yeah, it's confusing.
Boy, there's a lot there, and you need to hear, you need to read what Stephen has gone through. Stephen Sheets. Stephen is Steven. Important because his website is stephensheetsbooks.com. Information there on the book, the audio, which will be out soon. At the end of the audio, you basically close by saying, "Pray for me."
Yeah,
Talk about
because
that, and you still want
definitely.
people to pray for you, to be
Yeah,
thoughtful of you.
100%. Like, if you know, you could ignore everything else in the gospel. Like, what if you have even the slightest modicum of faith in the power of prayer or the power of manifestation? Please pray for me. Because I sorry for the language, but honestly, like, you know, we have these religions and some of them view each other as subhuman, and I am trying to somehow reunite the Abrahamic religions, and not just the Abrahamic religions, but all religions, because, you know, I don't want us to get trapped in cycles for eternity of just killing ourselves, because there isn't really a distinction between the self and the other. When you kill someone else, you're really killing yourself. And it I feel like we've been trapped in hell for the last 10,000 years, and we're stuck using primitive technology. And instead of technology being a way of saving us, it feels like we're building ourselves a technological prison. And I just don't want anyone to go to hell. And I'm mainly worried about myself for going to hell because I'm
Yes.
selfish.
Well,
So please pray for me because I would love to have a perception of heaven in which we could all coexist. But it appears as if though some people's perceptions of heaven would, for example, require me as a filthy gay person to be killed. But yeah.
You've given us a lot to thought to think about, and the book is thought-provoking. It will grab your attention. The audiobook is designed for adults, so I'll point that out as you're reading the book. So be prepared for that as you're reading. But it helps with the authenticity to know that Stephen is real. His story is real. Stephen Sheets has been our guest on the program. The book is The Gospel of Stephen Sheets. information on his website, StephenSheetsBooks.com, like on our website, ThisWeekInAmerica.us. Stephen, a pleasure having you on the program. Good luck in getting the word out there and helping other people by sharing what you've gone through and the numbers you gave us at the beginning of the conversation. Not that uncommon. So we thank you for sharing your message here today. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you. It was definitely a pleasure. I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, thank you for spending time with us, Stephen Sheets. And I want to thank Polaris Digital and Innovations for setting up our conversation with Stephen. Polaris Digital Innovations, your North Star for digital success. You'll find them at PolarisDigitalInnovations.com. You're listening to This Week in America. You can catch all of our podcasts on the different platforms we're on, 28 of them, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, Odyssey, Audible, Google, also YouTube, Facebook, LinkedIn, and many more. And while you're there, subscribe and listen for more inspiring conversations on This Week in America.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.